Thank you, Linda and Barbara. It's beautiful. All right. Well, most people looking at this picture up here on the screen would probably never guess that this former mixed martial arts, often we just refer to it as MMA, this mixed martial arts champion, has followed a plant-based whole foods vegan diet for the last 10 years of his professional career. Look at it. There it is. His name is Mac Danzig. And when he's in the ring, his speed, his agility, and his power are really exceptional. Now, many people go up to him and they'll ask him, how is it possible that you being a vegan could not lose your competitive edge in this area of mixed martial arts? How can a vegan person dominate like he has? He's done very well. How can he not lose his competitive edge by holding to this vegan diet? Well, according to Danzig, when he switched to a plant-based diet and cut out all animal products in 2004, the only thing that he lost was body fat, as you can tell. Actually, this is how it went. In 2004, he decided that about a month before his next match, that he was going to cut out animal protein. And he did it in cooperation with his trainer. He was working with people and really was intelligent about this choice. So a month out, he just decides to take meat out of his diet. And he realized that he actually lost no strength when he did this. In fact, when he went into the ring, he actually won that match. And after starting this plant-based diet with no animal products, he went on a 12-fight winning streak. Well, during his professional career, Danzig has won 21 of his 34 matches. So he's done pretty well. And he holds several championship titles, including a UFC title, which he won in 2007. If you don't know what that is, you don't really need to know, but he's done pretty well. That's the point. Okay, so going on a plant-based diet like this guy, like Mac Danzig, it may sound a little extreme for some of us. But science is confirming something that the Bible has been saying for over 3,000 years. And that is this, that we, even though there is license in the Bible, there are guidelines for eating meat, but we, in actuality, were created for a whole foods plant-based diet. That's the ideal diet. That's what we're created for. Now realize that diet is a very personal matter. I understand that. And I also realize that we all have different dietary compositions. I'll just leave it there for a second. We all have different compositions and needs, dietary needs that we all have. So, for some preacher to get up and try to tell us what we should be eating and what we shouldn't be eating, it might make some of us a little bit upset, right? I mean, who is somebody to get up and start talking about diet and telling me what to do, what restrictions I should put on myself? So I understand that. But the problem with letting our taste buds determine our dietary choices is this. Our taste buds can lead us astray. We all can get in a whole world of trouble if we just follow what tastes good to us. If good judgment does not guide our taste buds, we can quickly end up in poor health, lacking energy, we can be overweight, we can be feeling terrible. We can even be vegetarians, but pigging out on sugar and not be in a good place physically. Well, last week, we began a health initiative called 50 Days to Fitness. And if you haven't done so already, why don't you open your bulletin, and in there's a yellow card that looks like this, or it should be. And what we did last week was I challenged everyone to set a fitness goal that they're going to go after until February 21. So this is this 50-day period here for the next 7 weeks. So to help you with that fitness goal, we have this card here, and you have some options of things that you can choose from. Maybe you want to grow in the area of relational fitness, and so you want to improve your relationships with your spouse, with your family. There's a goal for that. You spend an hour a day. This is your covenant with God. And again, these goals are just us cooperating with God, what God is wanting to do in our life. What's the next step towards physical fitness? We are all in different places when it comes to health, and so this is just to encourage you to respond to what God is telling you. This is not me telling you to do it or someone else telling you to do it. This is just what God is encouraging you to do. So if you feel like you need to spend an hour a day with your family, if that would be a good goal for yourself in overall total fitness, then check that box if you haven't done so already, if you haven't chosen one already, or if you need to abstain from something, you need to cut something out of your diet, maybe you need to lose some weight, maybe you need to be more consistent with exercise or drink more water, or whatever it might be. I want to challenge every one of you to set some kind of a fitness goal. It's for yourself. You know, it's so that what we're talking about here is what will impact our relationship with God and our relationship with others. That's the point of fitness. These things are really important. These are spiritual issues because they affect our communication with God. So I want to challenge you to do that if you haven't done so already. So each week we'll be giving you different challenges. Last week we gave you a challenge, and that was to team up. And some of you guys have been doing this. I know I did it, and it's really been helpful with my personal fitness goal, which I love sugar so much. My wife will tell you, it's got a hold on me. So I felt impressed to work on cutting out sugar, and I'm telling you publicly. So if you see me getting close to the dessert table, you can say, "Hey, I need to talk to you, Pastor Brian," or something. Distract me a little bit. But with the help of others, and I've teamed up with one of our church members here, and I'm encouraging you, guys with guys, to team up, girls with girls, ladies with ladies, to team up. And something very powerful as we work together, as we remain in community. Sometimes I need somebody to talk sense to me when I'm not thinking straight, when I'm about to make an unhealthy choice. If you think about it, if we choose to do something unhealthy, that really is insane, because we all want to live, right? So encourage you to team up with somebody if you've not done so. This is just until February 21, okay? So we just have 7 weeks left. Each week we'll be giving you challenges, and today I'm going to be giving you another challenge. As you might guess, based upon the things that I've said so far, we're talking about diet today. So we'll be giving you a challenge here at the end of this service on diet. All right, the title of the message this morning is Eat to Live. Eat to Live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to choose life. We want to experience life to the fullest. And I want to thank you for being concerned about that and giving us teaching in your word. God, I pray that we would have open hearts, humble hearts, willing hearts to follow what you're saying so that we can have the life, the abundant life that we were created for. So I ask your spirit to guide us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So please turn with me to the first book of the Bible, to the book of Genesis. I'm going to be looking at Genesis chapter 1. I'll go ahead and put that up there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. In Genesis chapter 1, we see the first glimpse of the character of God in the Bible. He's revealed there in Genesis chapter 1. As the story of creation unfolds, there's a phrase that starts to be repeated over and over as God creates. Each day he's creating, he repeats this phrase over and over. And by the time we get to Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, in the first 29 verses of the first chapter of the Bible, he has repeated this phrase 6 times already. When he creates light, he says, what? It's good. Yeah, when he creates the sky or the atmosphere, he says it's good. When he separates the land from the sea and plants come out, he says they are good. The stars and the birds and the fish. After he creates all these things, he says it is good. And with this phrase, it is good, ringing in our ears, we approach this verse, Genesis 1:29. It's important that we keep this in mind, because Genesis 1:29 talks about something that may not seem very good. Right? Because after the holidays, after Thanksgiving, after Christmas, after New Year's, when you've been bad, you have to do this. That's called going on a diet. All right? So we talk about diets after we've made poor choices, usually. Isn't that the way it is? Oh man, I ate all this stuff. I gotta go on a diet. Look at what the scale is telling me. I've got to go on a diet. After we've been bad, we often go on a diet. But here we find the first diet mentioned in the Bible at a time when everything is good. Look at what is good in Genesis 1:29. God said, "See," some of your versions say, "look or behold, I have given you every herb, every plant that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food." There it is. Every plant yielding seed, fruits, grains, nuts. These things are for you, are your food. Now, it might be hard for us to imagine what life would be like in a perfect world. You know, there's so much corruption all around. You turn on the TV and you see all these terrible things happening. It might be tough for us to imagine what life would be like in a perfect world. But in the area of diet, we don't have to guess. In a perfect world, in paradise, this is the very thing that God has created us for. He says, "This is your food, a plant-based whole foods diet." Does that sound familiar? Similar, very similar, in fact, to Mac Danzig's diet, the MMA fighter. Plant-based whole food diet. This is God's diet that he gives to people in a perfect world, people who were perfect. This is what our original digestive, this is what our digestive systems were created for, this original diet. Now, as we think about this kind of a diet, one of the adjectives that comes up in many of our minds is this. This kind of a diet is restrictive. It's restrictive, right? If you think about this diet, this whole foods plant-based diet, it cuts out stuff that we like. But if we really consider all of the foods that is included here in Genesis 1:29, every plant that yields seed, every fruit tree, every tree that yields fruit, the reality is a plant-based diet is a rich diet. It's rich in colors, in textures, in flavors. There is richness to this kind of diet. There is variety to this kind of diet. For us in the Central Valley, a plant-based diet would include things like this: grapes, apples, pears, peaches, plums, cherries, figs, citrus of all kinds, melons of all kinds, and the list goes on, all the different fruits that we have available to us. It would include corn, rice, quinoa, oats, wheat, barley, millet, spelt, flax, and the list goes on. It includes almonds, walnuts, hazelnuts, cashews, pecans, peanuts, and a variety of other nuts available to us. It includes cabbage, kale, spinach, asparagus, potatoes, tomatoes, onions, garlic, beets, celery, all kinds of richness included in this diet listed here in Genesis 1:29. Even though we don't have the details given to us here, in this very first diet referred to in the Bible, a plant-based whole foods diet is anything but restrictive. For our first parents living in paradise, God's original diet provided more than just a few things. It provided more than enough food for them. God says to them in Genesis 1:29, "See, look, behold, every plant-bearing seed, every tree-bearing seed is yours." I'd like for you to notice something about this text. I'd like for you to notice that God does not force feed his people. He doesn't put the food into Adam and Eve's mouth. He doesn't say, "Open up, I'm going to stick it in." Instead, God lets them choose. He gives these broad areas, plant-based areas, foods that would fall into the category of fruits, nuts, grains, vegetables. He says, "You can choose. Choose from all these good options I'm giving you." This is an important point for us to take away from this verse, I believe, because when it comes to telling others about diet, especially if we're really excited about it, sometimes we can get kind of controlling. We can get kind of controlling with others. At times, many well-meaning people in church have practically forced their dietary convictions on other people. They've served up these dietary convictions with liberal helpings of guilt and fear and all kinds of other stuff that really wasn't very helpful. And the result was is that it did more harm than good. But if God lets his people choose their diet, who are we? Who am I to do anything but that? It's our choice. We can choose. God says, look at all the wonderful things I have created for you. Choose from those things. In Genesis 1:29, Moses, the author of the book of Genesis, he describes God in a way that went against the popular ideas of divinity. Many people did not think of God in these terms in which he is described in Genesis 1:29. It says that God provided food. In other words, when God created us, he was not creating for himself. He was creating for us. You see, when he created all of the things with us in mind. He was thinking to himself, what is going to appeal to the taste buds that I created? He was thinking, what do people need in order to be healthy? What do people need in order to have joy, in order to have life to the fullest? This is what he had in mind. He didn't wait for us to say, oh, excuse me, God, it's been a few hours, we're a little hungry. No, when he created us, he created the world with our hunger in mind, with our diet in mind. He was already thinking about that. And that goes in direct contrast to the popular thinking of divinity in that day, in Moses' day. See, pagan worshipers in Mesopotamia, they thought that the gods made people to meet their needs. In other words, gods did not create for other things, for other beings. The gods created for themselves. And so the gods would make people so that they could do work that the gods didn't want to do. And one of the responsibilities of people was for the people to supply food for the God. And we see this even today in some cultures, some religions, you'll see people offering food to an idol. That's what they're doing. In contrast to that, God says, no. I did not create you to supply food for me. I provide for you. God is the provider. When we need health, when we need life, God has already thought about that, and he gives us what is good, because that's what God does. He gives us good things. God is not like other gods. He provides good things for us. He is a God who provides. In Genesis 1:29, God says that he has given the food that they need. So the conclusion then would be, when we accept the diet that God has provided for us, we're not just making a choice that is healthy. It's more than that. We are actually choosing to accept the giver or the provider. It's a choice to accept God himself. In other words, diet is more than just a matter of health. It's also a matter of our allegiance. Don't miss that. This is something that is deeply spiritual. It's a matter of where our allegiance is. Our diet says something about our allegiance. Now, this becomes very clear in the next couple of chapters. When Adam and Eve's allegiance to God was tested, what were they told not to do? Don't eat, right? Don't eat from this particular tree. Food became the test. That was going to determine whether Adam and Eve would have allegiance towards God and say, God, we accept you. We believe that you are the provider of everything that we need and we don't need to look anywhere else. It would test that versus, well, man, maybe I don't know if I can trust God. Is God really aware of what I need? We know how the story turns out. And in that one choice that Adam and Eve made, that one dietary choice, they shifted their allegiance from a loving God that provides everything good to a tyrant who was out to destroy them. Throughout the Bible, allegiance to God has often been demonstrated by diet. When God gave Israel manna, when they're in the desert, they were wandering around and they needed food. God rains down food from heaven, bread from heaven. And they could demonstrate their allegiance by whether or not they followed his rules. He said, I'm going to give it to you 6 days of the week. And you can go out and all you need to do is collect just enough for that day. Those people who showed their allegiance to God went out and collected just enough for that day. Those people who were not loyal to God, who were not listening to God, not following God, they collected more and they tried to keep it. And the next day, their homes were filled with stinking manna. It was rotten. They had an opportunity through diet to demonstrate their allegiance. They also did that on Sabbath. Friday, they were told to gather an extra portion. Those who were loyal, who had allegiance to God, they listened to that and they said, okay, I'm going to gather to an extra portion, even though it doesn't make sense, because every other day it would rot. But because God, you say it, I'm going to do it. You give me this diet, I will accept it. Those who did had plenty of food for Sabbath. Those who didn't went hungry. Later on, when there was a major cataclysmic event that we know as the flood, all the plant life was destroyed. So paradise had been destroyed. And in this time of crisis, God allows people to eat meat. And he gives them guidelines for this meat. He tells them that there are certain things that would be good for them and certain things that wouldn't be good for them. And you can read about those guidelines in Leviticus 11 and in Deuteronomy 14. God spells it out in those two chapters. But basically, this was a sign of allegiance. Those people who had allegiance to God, they were eating a certain way. Those who did not were eating a bunch of pork chops and all kinds of other things that were not meant for their health. Then the classic example is the example of Daniel. Right? Many of us are familiar with Daniel's example, how he and his friends were taken captive to Babylon. They knew these dietary laws. They knew the things that God had provided for their good. And the king offers him their food. Now think about this. Had Daniel and his friends eaten that food, they would have survived. They probably would have done okay, in fact. Because it had to have been worth something. I mean, after all, the nation of Babylon did conquer the nation of Israel. So the diet that they were on was giving them something. But Daniel and his friends saw that it was more than just a matter of survival, more than just a matter of health. It was a matter of allegiance. And they absolutely refused to eat something that God had not provided. They demonstrated their allegiance by following the diet God had given. Now, when we choose a diet that God has not given, the natural result is our health suffers. According to modern medical research, listen to this statistic. 500,000 Americans will die this year from coronary artery disease. That's what medical research tells us. We can expect 500,000 Americans dying from heart disease, coronary artery disease. This disease is the leading killer among men and women today in America. And trying to treat it costs us $250 billion just trying to treat coronary artery disease. Unfortunately, most of the treatment deals with the symptoms rather than the cause. So in 1985, a doctor by the name of Caldwell Esselstyn began working with a group of patients who were suffering severely from coronary artery disease. And instead of limiting his treatment to just medications and surgery, Dr. Esselstyn decided to treat what he believed to be the main cause of coronary artery disease. What he decided to do, even though these people had practically one foot in the grave, they were just moments away, some of them it seemed like, from a heart attack, he decided to do something radical. He decided to change their diet. And you may guess what diet he decided to change it to. Yes, it was a whole foods, plant-based diet. They were encouraged to eat grains, legumes, vegetables, and fruit. And they were also asked to cut out animal products. What Dr. Esselstyn found was this change in diet saved his patients' lives. Even though his patients were, they had severe cases of coronary artery disease that was putting them at high risk of heart attack, he found that all of the patients who were willing to follow this whole foods, plant-based diet experienced dramatic results. He observed that this change in diet, it not only slowed the progress of heart disease, it actually stopped it. He followed his patients over a 5-year period of time. This is not something very, you know, this is something that happened over years. He follows them over this 5-year period of time, and everyone who was willing to follow along with this diet survived. Not only did it slow the progress, it stopped it. And in several cases, the damage caused by coronary artery disease was actually reversed, something that was really unprecedented. 12 years after this study began, those patients who continued on with this diet, because it is a difficult thing, but those who continued on 12 years later had kept improving with no negative side effects resulting from this change in their diet. Now, I realize that some people might be saying, come on, Pastor, does it really matter? I mean, I want to enjoy my food. I've heard some people say, you know, I would rather live a short life enjoying the foods that I'd like to eat than to have to you know, cut out these things that taste good. Well, first of all, your quality of life is actually going to improve too. But more than that, what we eat is a spiritual decision. Some people might say, well, I love the Lord. Isn't that good enough? Isn't it good enough that I love God and you know, I want to do what's right? Isn't that just good enough? Don't we just need to know Jesus? Isn't that all it is? But the reality is, our decisions regarding diet have deeply spiritual effects. It is a spiritual decision. Because, and here's why, please follow this. Because our willingness to accept God's physical diet has a huge influence on our willingness to accept God's spiritual diet. The principles are actually the same. In both cases, our physical life and our spiritual life, God is the provider, right? As we see in Genesis 1:29, I have given you these things. He provides good things, and the good things that he provides give us life. We don't have life inherently in and of ourselves. That only comes from God. And in the same way that we receive food from him, if we're not willing to do that, then how will we be willing to receive his provision for our spiritual life? Look at what it says in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus makes a powerful statement. He connects himself with diet. He is what diet symbolizes. This life-giving effect of good food is symbolized actually by Jesus. He says, I am the, what? The bread of life. In other words, just he's referring to this experience that the children of Israel had when they were in the desert. Just as the manna came down and gave them life, in the same way, Jesus comes down. He is provided to us by God to give us life. That's what it's about. It's about experiencing life. Jesus is the bread of life. So if we choose to reject what God has provided, if we choose to reject the spiritual diet he offers us for something that is more appealing to our taste buds, we will also lose out on life. If you choose to reject the diet that God gives us, there's going to be some health consequences. One of the consequences of that, I believe, is what Dr. Esselstyn found. And that is that a lot of people in this country are going to die because of a refusal to accept the dietary regulations, the dietary instructions that God has given to us. Now, I realize that this willingness to receive the diet that God gives us is an area that we all struggle with. I struggle with it. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one here in this room that struggles with it, to eat what I know to be healthy. But thankfully, Jesus is able to help us. Jesus has overcome where we have often failed. After 40 days, the Bible tells us, of Jesus not eating a thing, being out in the wilderness, the Bible makes this simple declaration of his condition at that point. It says he was hungry. Yeah, 40 days without eating. I would imagine he was pretty hungry. In fact, I probably cannot imagine how hungry he was. He must, every cell in his body must have been crying out for food. And Jesus, being the Son of God, the miracle worker, he had the potential in himself to create food for himself, to provide food for himself. Satan comes along and says, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones, which probably resembled the loaves of bread that he was accustomed to eating, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus overcomes this very powerful area of appetite by recognizing something very important. He recognized that God was the provider of all of his needs, and he refused to provide for himself. He refused to accept something that God had not given him. He waited upon the providence of his Father, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus was concerned with life. And this same Jesus, who overcame in this most critical area of diet, is able to help you and I. He's able to help us to shift our allegiance away from that tyrant that wants to destroy us, that has led us to the place where we have corrupt appetites, where we desire things that are going to shorten our life and rob us of quality of life. He is able to help us to make that shift back to the one who provides nothing but good. So this morning, I think it's still morning, this afternoon, I want to challenge you to pledge your allegiance to the God who loves you, who knows what you need, who wants to give you life. Here's your challenge for this week. Now, I realize that we're all at different places in our dietary experience. I am not a vegan, although I think that a vegan diet is probably the healthiest, according to God. I believe what he says there. There are still some areas that I'm working on replacing. If you don't have a good replacement for it, by the way, don't just cut it out. You need certain things, okay? But my challenge to you is to pursue the diet that you were created for, the diet that we were created for. And here's one way that we can determine, for me, it's just kind of a simple way of thinking about it. How can I know if I am pledging my allegiance to God in the area of diet? This is the simple way that I would give you, the simple litmus test. Ask two questions. Am I living to eat? Am I like Eve? Am I looking for something? Remember, keep in mind that she did not eat that fruit because she was hungry. She was eating that fruit because she wanted that fruit to do something that only God could do. God is the provider of wisdom, and she was looking for food to provide that. She was living to eat, and oftentimes we fall into that category where we're like, man, I am stressed out, I am empty, I am lonely, get me some chocolate for crying out loud, right? Well, we're all in that place. You know, man, I feel empty, I need to just eat something. Right? And we look to food instead of looking to God. So here's the question. Am I living to eat or am I eating to live? I would submit that to you as a litmus test as to how we are doing with our diet. So just ask ourselves that question. When we pull ourselves up to the dinner table or when we walk through the kitchen or when we go out to eat, am I eating to live or am I living to eat? I want to challenge you to pursue a whole foods, plant-based diet. And as I mentioned before, I know we are all at different places. Perhaps, here's some suggestions, okay? Perhaps for some, this means replacing highly processed foods in your diet with salads, veggies, fresh fruit, and legumes. Perhaps for others, it's reducing your intake of processed sugar, or maybe cutting it out. We're all at different places. All I'm encouraging you to do is to take the next step. Maybe for some of you, you're not eating any plants in your diet. Maybe it's just introducing some of those things. For others, perhaps you've been following a vegetarian lifestyle for who knows, years? There's still another step that we can take to improve our diet and therefore our allegiance to God, our relationship with God. Maybe it just means cutting out meat or red meat from your diet. I mean, science confirms all these things. And I'm not trying to mess with you. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just trying to tell you what I read in the Bible, that we were created for a plant-based diet. So I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you to pursue a whole foods plant-based diet. God's plan for you is life. So my challenge to you is to eat to live. Now, some of you might be thinking, man, how can I transition? You know, I'm used to eating certain things. God, I see what you're saying in the Bible, and I want to change. I want to experience life. I want to eat to live. I don't want to let my taste buds dictate what I eat. I want to train them to enjoy good foods that are going to give me life. And maybe you need some suggestions. Here are just a few resources. And if you have any more questions, we'd be happy to offer more resources to you. There's actually a cookbook for kids. Those of you who are parents that want to help your kids eat more healthily, there's a cookbook for kids that I don't have up there. It's called Kidalicious. And if you'd like more information on that, I'd be happy to get that to you. Or you can see our resident vegan expert cooks here in the church. We have a variety of them, and we'd be happy to direct you to those individuals. So here it is. Let's eat to live. What do you say? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us only good things. And thank you for your word that speaks truth to us, when oftentimes our corrupt cravings lead us to a place of unhealthiness. We can look to your word for guidance as to what will bring us life. God, we ask that you, through the presence of your spirit, that Jesus, who overcame diet, who overcame a corrupt diet, the desire to look to food to satisfy, he overcame that. We ask that he would come and give victory into our lives. We're all at different places. And I pray, God, that we would look to you to take that next step towards total fitness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. May the God who provided nothing but good things for you, may he give you courage, may he give you boldness, and may he give you strength so that you can eat to live. God bless you.